having hobbies and enjoyable leisure activities are associated with a plethora of positive benefits for your health, physically, mentally, spiritually, for the world.
Hey, Seattle firefighters, this is Jen Pennington, your host at Listen Up L27, and today we're going to be talking about life enjoyment, happiness, and connection. We talk a lot on this show about mental wellness, depression, and stress. Today, we're focusing on a positive approach to the connections we make and steps you can take to overcome obstacles and redefining what happiness can mean. Today, our guest is Station 2 Clinic Physician Assistant Laura Wenzich. She's got a lot of experience on this topic, and it's a subject she's very passionate about. Laura, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Jen.
So Laura, tell me a little bit about your background and what you do here for Station 2 Clinic.
I've been an internal medicine PA for 9 years, and I joined the Station 2 Clinic in September of 2021. And I do the annual firefighter medical exams, the 2-hour-long comprehensive occupational and preventative care visits.
So let's get into this. What is it you've seen in your work with firefighters that led you to want to explore this topic of life enjoyment?
In our discussion with firefighters when they come in for their annual firefighter medical exam, we do talk about mental health quite a bit. And one of the questions that comes up in that is if they are enjoying activities that they used to enjoy or getting pleasure from leisure activities. A fair amount of the time, that answer is not always. A lot of firefighters say they find it difficult to achieve a happy work-life balance and feel like they spend a lot of their off-shift time catching up on their to-do lists and tasks that piled up while they were at work. When I ask about what they do for themselves regarding their hobbies or personal interests, fairly frequently the response is that they don't have any hobbies or don't have time to pursue the hobbies or activities that they usually enjoy.
So you've led me right into the next question. I know your interest in learning about people's hobbies and passions as a means of lessening the effects of stress and depression. Have you found anything in your profession or in the research you've been looking at?
Definitely. Having hobbies and enjoyable leisure activities are associated with a plethora of positive benefits for your health, physically, mentally, spiritually, for the world. And some of those that have been shown in research are lower blood pressure, lower waist circumference, lower cortisol levels or stress hormone levels, lower levels of depression, of course, higher life satisfaction. More engagement in enjoyable leisure activities also buffers the negative impact of stressful life events if they come up. And this outcome in research was true whether the hobby was physically engaging, like participating in sports, or more sedentary, like being in a book club, and also true whether it was a group activity or something more individualized, like playing an instrument.
That's really interesting. And one of the things that you and I have talked about before a little bit is this connection between loneliness and heart health. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. A 2016 meta-analysis done by researchers at the University of York showed that social isolation and loneliness are most strongly linked to heart disease and stroke, with a 29% increased risk for heart attack and or death from heart disease, and a 32% increased risk for stroke. Also, as may be expected, mental health outcomes are worse for those with fewer social connections, and substance abuse rates are higher as well.
Wow, that's a lot. You and I have also talked about the various types of smaller connections or acts of kindness and getting active in your community. Why are simple everyday interactions so important?
Yeah, research shows that happy people spend more time with others and have a richer set of social connections than unhappy people. And studies even show that the simple act of talking to a stranger on the street for just a minute can boost our mood more than we might expect. I'll reference a 2014 study by Nick Epley. He did a study where train commuters were chosen at random and instructed to do one of three things. One, do what they normally do on their commute. Two, enjoy solitude, just be quiet by yourself, but enjoy it as much as possible. And three, make a meaningful connection, have a conversation with someone. People predicted that they would be happiest enjoying solitude and least happy having to talk to somebody. The study proved the opposite was true. The solitude condition resulted in the least happiness, and there was a big boost in positivity in the connection cohort. The study was replicated where the study participants were put in a waiting room and half were given the same instruction to either be quiet or to form a connection. But the other waiting room members were also people who had, or also study participants who had no instructions and didn't know they were in a study, but were asked afterwards how they felt. And the study showed that both the people who initiated the connection and those who were unexpectedly thrown into a conversation had increases in happiness.
That's really interesting. And, you know, something that I was thinking about the other day is you can have these interactions with people that are, you know, one-on-one, but then you can also have an interaction, I think, that will make you feel better in a way that's different. So, for example, I know this sounds silly, but I just had my tires redone on my car. But the service that I got was so good, and the way that the people interacted with me was just so great. I just wrote up a really nice review, and it made me feel really good for doing something for somebody else or how they had interacted with me.
Yeah, that sounds like a connection between your social connection and like an act of kindness, and both of those are very helpful for our own personal happiness. We mentioned before, too, that I will also create a situation where I rely on somebody for their act of kindness to create that social connection. I mentioned when I first moved into our house, I didn't know anybody in the neighborhood, and I didn't necessarily need a ladder, but I went to the neighbor and asked if I could borrow a ladder, and it just created that connection, and they felt good for doing something kind for me, and that kind of paved the way for ongoing future connection and for me to repay with another act of kindness, and it's really solidified a lot of the relationships with the neighbors. Research shows that happy people are motivated to do kind things for others. There was actually research done in 2014 by Liz Dunn and Mike Norton, where participants were chosen at random to be given money, either $5 or $20, and one cohort was given the instruction to spend the money on themselves, and the other cohort was instructed to spend the money on somebody else. People predicted their personal happiness would be higher if they spent it on themselves, and that they would be happier if they had more money to spend on themselves. The study actually proved that happiness increases significantly more when you spend money on other people compared to spending on yourself. And that happiness wasn't impacted by how much money you spent. So you don't have to break the bank being kind to others to live a happier life.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about Facebook, about the buy nothing groups.
That's right.
That are out there. And I've asked for a pitchfork before, which I know sounds ridiculous, but it was amazing how many people had them and were willing to give them up. And I see those connections happening. It's like the one thing that I enjoy about Facebook is the buy nothing groups.
It's a great group.
But, you know, just the way people will jump at trying to help someone else, I think is part of that connection. And people are getting to know who their neighbors are, you know, in this area. So I can see that it's incredibly valuable. I wanted to also ask you about goal setting. You and I have talked a little bit about this. There is a methodology called WOOP, that's W-O-O-P, which stands for Wish, Outcome, Obstacle, and Plan. I was wondering if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about that and how that works.
Definitely. WOOP is a 5-minute mental restructuring that you can use to tackle any problem. It's great for kicking off any desired behavior change or journey towards a desired outcome. As you mentioned, WOOP stands for Wish, Outcome, Obstacle, Plan. For wish, you decide exactly what it is that you want, and the more precise that wish is, the better. For outcome, you take a minute to live in the anticipated reality of what exactly it will look and feel like when your wish comes true. For obstacle, after you've done that positive outcome visualization, you identify what inner obstacles may hold you back from fulfilling your wish. And then for plan, create a plan for what can be done to overcome those obstacles. If that obstacle gets in your way, how will you overcome it?
How did you learn about this?
So WOOP and a lot of the studies that I've mentioned here are included in a free Coursera course titled The Science of Well-Being by Dr. Lori Santos, who's a professor in psychology and cognitive science at Yale University. She also hosts the Happiness Lab podcast, and Her Coursera course is one of the most popular on the entire website, and it's free. It's just very informative on a topic that people normally don't dedicate attention and time to, learning how to be truly happy in life.
Have you talked to any of your patients here for the Seattle firefighters that have done any of this or are doing any of this work after you've sort of helped them through it? Or
no.
Helped to expose them to it, I should say.
No. And actually, the reason I love that we're doing a podcast episode on this is we are, despite these being 2-hour long visits, we are still limited in time and in how much we can get into things during a 2-hour visit for a medical evaluation. And as much as we want to touch on all aspects of health and all mental health as much as we can, we don't always have the capacity to kind of talk through all the areas to actively create happiness in your life. And so I'm glad I have the opportunity to do that with you today.
You know, that is some of the questions that you're asking when you're in a session with somebody is, you know, what brings you joy? What hobbies you have?
That's right.
So I think that's good for them to know. So Laura, let's talk a little bit about gratitude and what that means and how that can actually make you feel better and sort of close the gap a little bit on either loneliness or depression and help bringing out the best in people.
Absolutely. And gratitude can be done independent of interactions with other people. You could have no social connections at all or be entirely socially isolated and still get a lot of benefits from gratitude practices. So I think that it's a behavior change option for everybody. And it's a really small commitment with a really big health outcome. So it improves your mental health. It can actually help with your physical health as well. Research shows that taking time to experience gratitude can make you happier and healthier. To practice this, you can take a few minutes each day or week if you feel that you don't have time each day, but with some regularity to write down 3 things, 5 things for which you're grateful. And they can be little things or big things, of course, but they don't have to be big things. But you really should focus on them and write them down. It could just be a word or a short phrase. But as you write these things down, take a moment to be mindful of the things you're writing about, like imagining the person or thing that you're feeling grateful for. And it's one of the most impactful small exercises that you could do on a regular basis to improve your mental outlook as well.
I think it's so important for people to actually recognize what's in front of them and not dwell so much on all the other things that life throws at you. Do you have any parting sage advice for Seattle firefighters?
It's worth the time to be intentional about seeking out and creating happiness in your life. I think a lot of times we just get into autopilot and live our life trying to be as productive as we can with our different work tasks and home tasks without kind of stepping back and analyzing how we're feeling about our life regarding life satisfaction, connection with others, gratitude, savoring the moments of our life instead of just getting swept into the whirlwind of all the things that we need to do. And my advice would be to take a step back and kind of do an overview of how you're feeling about your life. And if there are components that you want to improve, try a WHOOP exercise on it to see about behavior changes towards your desired outcome and really seek out and flourish in those social connections that you can have with other people.
Thank you very much, Laura, for being here today. And if you want to come down and get your AFME, you can come see Laura. She is available here at Station 2 Clinic. So come on in, let her know what you're up to. And Laura, thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having me, Jen.
Thanks for joining us. Listen Up L27 is a Seattle Firefighter Healthcare Trust production. This podcast is produced by the Rhizome Collaborative. I'm your host, Jen Pennington, and until next time, stay safe and stay healthy.